Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're jumping into a topic that's really changing how work gets done, Agile Scrum.
That's right. And we're using your provided material, Agile Scrum Mastery, the field-tested playbook for organizational transformation, as our guide.
Think of this as your fast track to understanding why big names, you know, Netflix, even NASA, are using this approach.
Exactly. At its core, Agile Scrum is really about delivering value faster. It leads to, well, happier customers, more engaged teams.
It's more than just a process, isn't it? It's a different way of thinking.
It absolutely is. And since you're looking to get up to speed quickly, thoroughly, our job here is to pull out the really crucial insights for you.
Okay. So the big questions are, why is everyone seemingly turning to Agile Scrum? And what does it really take to make it work successfully?
Good questions. Let's start with the why. Why Agile?
Yeah, what makes it better than, say, the traditional ways?
Well, think about traditional project management, often called waterfall. You plan everything up front,
yeah. Right?
Months of detailed blueprints.
Right, like building a house based on plans drawn up ages ago.
Exactly. And those rigid plans, well, they often break when reality hits. Unexpected problems crop up.
And feedback comes super late in the game.
Way too late. By the time you find a major issue, fixing it is expensive, time-consuming. It's a big pain point.
Yeah, like realizing miles down the road you took a wrong turn right at the start. Your source material really contrasts this with Agile.
It does. Instead of that massive upfront plan, Agile uses short cycles called sprints, maybe 1 or 2 weeks long.
So you can adjust course constantly.
Precisely. That delayed feedback becomes almost real-time feedback within each sprint. And quality isn't an afterthought tested at the end.
It's baked in from the start.
Baked in. Mm. Continuous quality focus.
That makes sense. In today's world, things change so fast.
Exactly. Think about software, a new feature launch. The market shifts. Being able to adapt, learn from user feedback quickly. That's not just nice to have.
It's the competitive edge.
It's often the key competitive advantage. That ability to learn and adapt.
Okay, so Agile gives you that flexibility, that nimbleness. Let's get down to specifics, though. What is this Scrum framework exactly? The building blocks.
All right, let's break down. Three core roles first. You've got the product owner, the PO.
Okay.
They're the champion for the product vision. They own the product backlog that's the master list of everything that might get done.
The single source of truth for the work.
Yes. Yeah. And they prioritize it, always focused on maximizing value, the return on investment, the ROI.
Got it. The PO is the strategic guide. Who's next?
Then you have the Scrum Master, the SM, often described as a servant leader.
Servant leader. What does that mean in practice?
It means they're not managing in the old sense, you know, assigning tasks. They coach the team, help them self-organize.
Oh, okay.
They remove obstacles, impediments that block the team's progress. And they made sure the Scrum framework itself is understood and used effectively.
So less director, more facilitator and protector.
You could say that.
Yeah.
A coach, facilitator, problem solver. Yeah.
And the third role.
The developers. And this isn't just coders. It's a cross-functional team.
Meaning
it includes everyone needed to build the product increment. Developers, testers, designers, maybe even operations folks, all working together.
Responsible for actually building the thing each sprint.
Exactly. They build the increment, which is that usable piece of the product.
Okay, three roles. PO, SM, developers. What about the things they work with? The artifacts.
Right, the three main artifacts.
Mm-hmm.
First, the product backlog, which we mentioned.
The master list.
The single living list of all potential work features, fixes, improvements, constantly refined by the PO.
Okay, makes sense. What else?
Second, the sprint backlog. This is more focused. It's the set of product backlog items that developers commit to completing in one specific sprint.
So the plan for the current 2 weeks, for example.
Exactly. Plus a plan for how they'll achieve the sprint goal. And the third artifact is the increment itself.
The actual piece of working product created during the sprint.
Yes. The sum of all the backlog items completed during a sprint, plus the value of increments from previous sprints.
Yeah.
And critically, it has to meet their definition of done.
Definition of done.
Yeah, a shared understanding of what it means for work to be truly complete, usable, tested, potentially shippable.
Potentially shippable. That really highlights delivering value frequently. Okay, roles, artifacts, now the events, the meetings.
The four key events, and they're all time-boxed. Very important.
Gives things focus.
Absolutely. First is sprint planning. Kicks off the sprint, the whole Scrum team collaborates.
What happens there?
They figure out what can be delivered in the upcoming sprint and how they'll achieve it. They define a sprint goal, the objective for the sprint, and select the product backlog items for this sprint backlog.
How long does that usually take?
For a typical 2-week sprint, maybe 4 to 8 hours. It's an important investment.
Okay. Then what happens day to day?
The daily scrum. Every day, same time, same place, just 15 minutes.
15 minutes. What can you cover?
It's purely for the developers. It's their chance to sync up, inspect progress towards the sprint goal, and adapt their plan for the next 24 hours. Identify any blockers.
Not a status report for the manager.
Definitely not. It's a planning meeting for the developers, by the developers. Quick, focused.
Got it. What happens at the end of the sprint?
Two things. First, the sprint review. This is where the scrum team shows what they accomplished, the increment to stakeholders.
Customers, management, others.
Yeah. The point is to get feedback on the product increment and adapt the product backlog if needed. It's collaborative, maybe 1 to 4 hours.
So that's where the key feedback loop closes on the product itself.
Precisely. And the final event.
The sprint retrospective.
Yes. This is for the scrum team, PO, SM developers to reflect on the sprint itself. How did things go?
What went well, what didn't.
Exactly. And crucially, identify specific improvements for the next sprint. Processes, tools, teamwork, continuous improvement in action, usually 1 to 3 hours.
Right. Learn and adapt the process. Okay. Roles, artifacts, events. That gives us the structure. Now, you mentioned this is a big shift from traditional project management.
Huge shift.
The material talks about the mindset change from project manager to scrum master. Can you unpack that difference?
Yeah, this is fundamental. A traditional project manager often works in a plan, execute, control mode. Lots of upfront detailed plans, Gantt charts.
Tracking tasks, managing dependencies.
Right. The scrum master operates very differently. Think coach, serve, enable.
Less directing, more empowering.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Their focus is helping the team become self-managing, removing obstacles, facilitating the scrum process, not telling people what to do.
So how does planning look different? No more Gantt charts.
Well, less emphasis on massive static Gantt charts. More focus on ongoing backlog refinement with the team and forecasting based on actual team performance, their velocity. It's more dynamic.
And communication, status reports.
Moves away from formal status reports towards radical transparency, using things like information radiators.
Information radiators? What are those? Like dashboards?
Could be dashboards, yeah. Okay. Or physical boards, burn down charts showing work remaining, yeah. Task boards, anything that makes progress and impediments visible to everyone instantly.
Ah, so everyone sees the same picture all the time.
Exactly. Fosters shared understanding, quick problem solving, much faster than waiting for a weekly report.
And risk management. The PM usually has detailed risk plans.
Scrum handles risk differently. The short sprints themselves reduce risk. You get feedback early and often. Continuous integration, where code is merged and tested frequently, catches issues sooner.
So risk is managed through the process itself, not just upfront planning.
Largely, yes. The authority model also changes dramatically from command and control
to servant leadership and facilitation.
Yeah, you got it. The Scrum Master serves the team, helps them be effective. It's not about having authority over them.
So the big takeaway is shifting from controlling the work to optimizing the system where the work happens.
That's a great way to put it.
Now, even with the best framework, it seems like the team itself is make or break. How do you build these high-performance Scrum teams?
Well, your source material nails it with the Peter Drucker quote. Culture eats strategy for breakfast.
Yes. So the process is important, but the team culture is essential.
Absolutely critical. You can follow all the Scrum rules, but without the right culture, it probably won't stick or deliver the real benefits.
So what goes into building that culture? What are the key ingredients?
First, cross-functionality. The team needs all the skills inside it, dev, QA, UX, maybe ops, to deliver the increment without waiting on other teams. Fewer handoffs, less delay.
Self-contained units.
Ideally, yes. Then there's size. The two-pizza rule is a good guideline.
Keep the team small enough to feed with two pizzas.
Roughly, yeah. Usually 5 to 9 core members. Keeps communication lines short, easier to coordinate.
Makes sense. What else?
A shared definition of done. This is huge. Everyone must agree on what done means for a piece of work. Code complete, tested, documented, security reviewed.
So no ambiguity about whether something is finished.
Exactly. A clear finish line.
Yeah.
And the material also mentions working agreements.
Right. What are those? Team rules.
Sort of, yeah. Ground rules the team creates for themselves. How they'll communicate. How they run their daily scrum. How they handle code reviews constructively, you hope. Maybe how they pick work pull versus push.
So they decide how they want to operate together.
Yes. It builds ownership and proactively addresses potential friction points.
Smart. The material also had some interesting psychological safety hacks. Tell me about those.
Yeah, this links back to culture. Psychological safety, feeling safe to speak up, take risks, make mistakes, is vital. Google's Project Aristotle found it was the number one factor in team effectiveness.
Wow, number one. So how do you foster it?
The hacks are simple things. Rotate who facilitates the retrospective, brings fresh perspectives.
Okay.
Celebrate learning KPIs, not just output. Focus on experimentation, improvement.
Value the learning process itself.
Right. And maybe intentionally pair quieter people with more vocal ones during discussions, like backlog refinement, to ensure all voices are heard. Small things that build trust.
Those sound like practical ways to build a healthier team dynamic. Okay, so you've got the why, the framework, the mindset shift, the team building. But how does a whole organization change? The material introduced an Agile Transformation Framework, MDPI.
Yes, MDPI. It's a structured approach with four pillars. First is M, mindset.
Back to culture and thinking.
Absolutely. Real transformation needs more than new processes. It needs a shift in how leaders and teams think and value work. Training leaders, aligning on Agile values is step one.
You can't just change the meetings and expect magic. Leadership buy-in is key.
Critical. Second pillar is D design.
Organizational design.
Exactly. Rethinking the structure. Moving away from traditional silos, marketing, IT, sales, towards organizing around value streams.
How value actually flows to the customer.
Precisely. Breaking down those walls to improve collaboration across disciplines.
Okay. Mindset design. What's P?
P is process. This is where you standardize the Scrum framework, provide coaching, but also, crucially, automate things like CI/CD.
Continuous integration, continuous delivery. Automating the build, test, deploy pipeline.
Yes. This automation is key to enabling that fast, frequent delivery that Agile promises.
Speeds everything up significantly. And the final pillar, I.
I is insights. Using data to steer the transformation. Setting up dashboards with key metrics.
Like what?
Things like team velocity, cycle time, how long work takes from start to finish customer satisfaction, like Net Promoter Score, NPS.
Tracking progress objectively.
Right. And the framework suggests regular health checks, maybe quarterly, to see how the organization is doing across all four pillars. Mindset, design, process, insights, and where to focus next.
A data-driven approach to the transformation itself. Very agile. You mentioned metrics there that the material lists some key ones to track. Can you elaborate?
Sure. They fall into a few categories. For delivery, sprint velocity is key. You want to see stability or ideally an upward trend.
How much work the team gets done per sprint.
Right. For flow, lead time, or cycle time.
Mm.
How long does it take an idea to get to the user? The goal might be, say, a 20% reduction in 6 months.
Tangible improvement goals. What about quality and value?
For quality, escape defects bugs found in production. Aim low, like fewer than 3 per release. For value, feature adoption rate. Are people actually using the features you build? Aim high, maybe over 70% active use.
And the people aspect, team health.
Crucial. Track things like ENPS, Employee Net Promoter Score, or team health survey results. Aim for improvement, like maybe plus 10 points a quarter.
So balance between speed, quality, value, and people.
Exactly. And the key is visualizing these on a dashboard. Make them transparent.
And review them in the sprint review.
Yes. It connects the work the team did to the outcomes. Fosters conversations between business and tech based on real data.
Creates that shared understanding and alignment. Now, change is hard. What are the common traps or pitfalls organizations fall into when adopting Scrum?
Oh, there are several classic ones. A big one is cargo cult Scrum.
Cargo cult, like going through the motions.
Exactly. Doing the meetings, using the terms, but without the underlying mindset shift. Just copying the rituals without understanding the why. The antidote is continuous education on Agile principles.
Got it. Don't just copy, understand. What else?
Over-customizing too early. Trying to tweak the Scrum framework before you've even mastered the basics. The advice is, get good at standard Scrum first.
Learn the rules before you break them.
Pretty much. Another huge one.
Yeah.
Ignoring middle management.
Why are they so important?
They're often the layer that has to translate the vision, support the teams, change their own ways of working. If they're not bought in or coached, they can become a major roadblock.
Need to bring them along on the journey.
Absolutely. Then there's metric overload. Yep. Tracking everything instead of focusing on a few vital metrics that actually drive improvement.
Keep it focused.
And maybe the most damaging, skipping retrospectives.
Skipping the improvement meeting. That seems counterintuitive.
It does. But teams get busy, feel pressure. The retro is where the learning and adaptation happens. Skipping it kills continuous improvement. Your material rightly calls it the most valuable ceremony.
Don't skip the retros. Message received loud and clear. Looking ahead now, what's next for Agile Scrum? The material gave a glimpse into the future.
Yeah, it's interesting. Things like AI might play a bigger role. Think AI Sprint co-pilots, helping with estimation or risk spotting.
Using data to assist the team.
Right. Also, outcome-based contracts becoming more common, paying vendors for value delivered, not just effort.
Shifting the focus to results.
Exactly. We're also seeing Agile principles applied more broadly, Agile data ops for data teams, for instance, and adapting Scrum for remote or hybrid work with remote-first rituals.
Adapting to new ways of working.
And a growing focus on ethics, things like ethical backlogs, consciously prioritizing sustainability or accessibility alongside features.
So Agile itself needs to stay. Agile, keep evolving.
It has to, which ties into the final concept for the material, the transformation flywheel.
Right. Can you summarize that flywheel idea?
It's essentially the virtuous cycle. It starts with the right mindset.
Which allows the Scrum framework to work properly.
Which leads to greater transparency.
Enabling fast feedback.
Which fuels relentless improvement.
Which then reinforces the mindset and the wheel spins faster.
Exactly. And the Scrum Master is often the catalyst, keeping that flywheel turning, removing friction.
A powerful mental model for continuous improvement.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into Agile Scrum, using your playbook as a guide, it's clear why understanding this is so valuable today.
It's about navigating change, learning faster, adapting quicker.
Definitely. It's not just about speed. It's about building that capability for ongoing adaptation.
And for you listening, hopefully this has given you that quick, thorough grounding you were looking for, a solid shortcut to the core ideas of Agile Scrum.
And maybe it leaves you with a final thought to chew on, considering those common pitfalls we discussed.
Yeah.
Which one do you think would be the toughest challenge for an organization, you know, or perhaps your own, if it were adopting Agile? And more importantly, what steps could be taken proactively to avoid falling into that trap?
That's a great question to reflect on. Food for thought as you continue exploring Agile.